All right, Luke chapter 2, if you've found it, if you'd stand with me in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 is where we'll start this morning. I've preached out of this passage over the last couple of years, different message today, same passage, at this Christmas time. And it's one of those stories that is a little less familiar when it comes to all the messages that are preached around this time of year. If you've been in church a good amount of time, you are probably familiar with it. But even then, there might not be a whole lot of messages you've heard out of it. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 25, we'll begin there. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. But Joseph and his mother Mary, marveled at those sayings which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, normally we'll preach these two stories in two separate messages. We're going to lump them together today. Verse 36 says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She coming in that instant," the same instant of the story we just read, "she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel," or in Jerusalem. "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him." Seeking the Redeemer is the title of the message this morning. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we need you this morning. I pray you help me to preach what you have me to preach. Lord, help my voice and help me to be clear. Lord, help us to be hearers, not just hearers, but doers. And Lord, you be pleased to hear this end of the message. Thank you so much for your seal. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus is brought to the temple to be presented to the Lord certain days, specific days after his birth and fulfillment of the law. And then the text takes an interesting twist. As such a momentous occasion, the time in which God's very Son is being presented to him, to God, at his temple, the focus turns to two of God's servants who are in their latter years of life. Now, I know we've not preached or even looked at the birth of Christ yet this year and the details surrounding that. These two individuals are Simeon and Anna. They are two people who lived lives with purpose and would be blessed by God with the privilege to see the Redeemer of Israel before they would die, to see Jesus Christ. They came to see I think it's interesting that they came to see Jesus, but the Lord calls for us to behold these two individuals. Look at verse 25, where it says, "And behold, there was a man," and then later on, "there was one Anna," in verse 36. Go to Psalm 92, save your place here, if you would, in Luke chapter 2. Psalm chapter 92. Simeon and Anna are two people that were truly planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourished in the house of the Lord. We'll look at them, a few details here in just a minute. But Psalm 92, verse 12 says this: "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." This would be Simeon and Anna for sure. "They shall be fat and flourishing." Now we can do a play on words on that, but we're not going to this morning. Verse 15, "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Three simple points this morning I'd like to make about these two older servants of the Lord that helped them to be an example to us of what it means to live a life of fruitfulness and purpose. I'll just give them to you right now. They waited on God, they worked for God, and they worshiped God. And these three things, Simeon and Anna, shows us why it is that the Lord takes up more verses in this context anyways to talk about them than he does to talk about Jesus Christ himself. Of course, the Gospels is all about Jesus Christ, but there's a lot given to us right here, and this is all we hear of them in these verses right here. So the first point I have this morning is Simeon and Anna waited. They waited on God. And Simeon, we'll start with in Luke 2, verse 25. Look what it says there. "And there was a certain man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is surely a reference to Simeon's hope for the consolation of Israel. Simeon's hope for the coming Messiah. He had no doubt been taught the prophecies about God's coming king, the one who would redeem Israel, the one who would bring salvation, the one who would be able to bring a word that is used often as peace, and the peace of God to Israel, and this would be the Messiah, the one that they're looking to, the one they're looking forward to. And just imagine being in Simeon's sandals as the Spirit of God came upon him. I don't know exactly what time it was. I don't know exactly how old Simeon was when the Holy Ghost told him these things, but the Bible says it was revealed unto him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And basically says, you in your lifetime, Simeon, you will see the Messiah. Before you die, in your lifetime, you'll see him. They've been waiting for the Messiah to come. They've been waiting for these promises to be fulfilled, and Simeon receives these things. Now, we're not going to get too much into him being a just and devout man. We'll talk about that here in just a minute, but I think much of this is a result of the fact that he was a just and devout man, and God was able to give him blessings because he was a blessing to God. But it says he would not die until he sees the Messiah who'd been promised to God's people for over 1,000 years. We're not told exactly when this happened, but can you imagine what was going through Simeon's mind as the years passed by? Can you imagine the anticipation? Imagine the excitement of being able to see God's Christ in the flesh. Imagine day after day, he looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. This was a man who was just and devout, and every day he lived, he woke up, could this be the day? Could this be the day that Jesus comes? Could this be the day the Messiah comes? God's Christ are the words there. Could this be the day that he comes? And so that would be a motivation for him to live a day joyfully and a day happily. It would be a motivation for him to live a day pleasing God and doing what's right and serving in the temple there and just continuing to go on day after day after day. As he got older and older and older, Christ hadn't come yet, the Messiah. He hasn't seen him yet, but he lives each day in anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ. Christian, we ought to live each day in anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ. What an example for us today. Because listen, he's coming again. He's coming again. And I know we face hard times, but so did Simeon. And I know we face difficulties, but so did Simeon. And I know we get older, but so was Simeon. And he kept living day after day, not grumbling, not complaining, not whining, not griping, not not woe is me, but is this the day Jesus is coming? Is this the day that I'm going to see Christ? What an example. As the years pass by, the anticipation, no matter how long he had to wait, he was going to be willing to wait patiently, and he trusted that God would fulfill God's promise. Do you trust that God's going to fulfill God's promise this morning? Because he is. Many people, before they die, have a long list of things they want to accomplish. A bucket list, you might want to call it. For a long time, one of those things that was on my bucket list before I died was to go skydiving. It's no longer on my bucket list, not because I went skydiving, but because I don't want that to be my last day to live. I'm not interested in it anymore. I'm really not. I used to be. I always argued that skydiving was safer than bungee jumping because you never know if that bungee, I mean, I just imagine a bungee would break more frequently than a parachute would fail to open. And then you had a backup parachute usually. You don't have a backup bungee. I mean, if the bungee breaks, that's it. You know, but neither one of those are on my bucket list anymore. I don't really have a bucket list anymore. I used to have a lot of things on my bucket list. I'm just ready to go home. I'm just ready to see Jesus Christ. Amen. You might have certain things on your bucket list. And Simeon, I think he had one thing on his bucket list. The one thing on his bucket list was to see Jesus Christ. He wanted to see the Christ child, see the Redeemer of Israel. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and we have Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Every day she was there at the temple, serving God with fastings and prayers. Her story is one of sorrow. She was married for just 7 years before her husband died. She was left as a young widow, maybe in her early 20s, when this happened. One would imagine her situation would cause her to find soon another husband. Maybe a kinsman redeemer that the Bible talks about in other situations like this. Maybe raise up her children for her husband who had died. But this is not what happened. She decided to stay single. She took a path that many women of her time would run away from and even loathe the decision that she made. But she would, after the death of her husband, be a widow for a very long time. There's some possible ways to look at this. It says that she was a widow for 7 years after her virginity. And then it says that for 84 years, or for 84 years, of about 84 years, she departed not from the temple. So, you know, there some would say that she may have been married for 7 years and then a widow for 84 years, which would have put her over 100 years old if she got married in her teens, which was common. Or the other possibilities that she was married for 7 years and became a widow until the age of 84. I'm going with the former. You can argue with me about it later on. I don't think it matters in light of eternity, which would be her current age. But either way, this would have been a very long time for her to be a widow, right? Can we agree on that? This isn't something to split the church over, amen? Anna would spend her whole life on her own. Anna would spend her whole life trusting in her God to provide for her physical needs in those needs of which her husband would have provided. She didn't have welfare to help her. She didn't have Social Security to collect. She depended on the Lord. She depended on possibly the generosity of others to help sustain her physically. She would be living a life like this. And the question is why? Why would she be living a life like this? And I believe the reason is that her sights were not set on herself, but her sights were set on someone, capital S, someone else. She wanted to devote her life to God and be able to meet not her kinsman redeemer, like in the case of Ruth, but meet her spiritual redeemer. She was waiting for the best of redeemers. What are you waiting for in life? What is it that gets you going every single day. Some might say, you know, I look forward to the job. I look forward to the overtime. I look forward to the money. I look forward to just bring it all in and having security in my life. Meanwhile, some would be that way, and I'm not saying this is everybody who has that mindset, but I think if we have that mindset too much, then we're depending on our own means, our own livelihood, our own way of living, and our own power, rather than trusting God to provide for us what God wants us to have. And I promise you, God can provide for you in ways better than you can provide yourself. What are you living for this morning? Maybe some would say, I'm living for my family. I what gets me going is my kids or my spouse. And my life revolves around those individuals, and everything I do has to do with them. And this is a necessity of life. I'm not saying, listen, don't get me wrong. This is a necessity of life. And you have to. This is what inundates you, not maybe by choice, although you love it, but because you're a mom or because you're a dad or because you're a spouse, and this is a demand of your life, and that's great. But some will look to those things for their motivation or for their source. And listen, it might be great one day, but the next day, those kids might be hard, right? And so your source of joy is gone. I mean, my wife's husband is an amazing person, and so I understand that would be her source of joy. But believe it or not, there are some days where her husband is just a pain in the neck. Amen. The source of joy is gone. What are you going to do when that job that you're living for, when you get laid off? What are you going to do when there's a decrease in pay or whatever? Your source of joy, that which motivates you, changes. Listen, Jesus never changes. Amen? Never changes. There's a lot of things we could look to different things for our motivation in life or what we're, so to speak, waiting for. But there are better things to devote our lives to. There are better things to anticipate in our life. Many of us are in anticipation mode of certain things in life. And as the days roll by, we become more and more excited about certain things. This time of year brings excitement, brings anticipation, brings energy. People are working hard and trying to do different things just to make this holiday season go exactly right and perfectly. And as we each get one day closer to those things, I mean, you just find out it's not a very good source of joy in your life. It doesn't quite satisfy. But as we each get one day closer to meeting Jesus Christ in glory, we ought to have that kind of anticipation for Him. That's our motivation. That kind of longing. Go to Titus chapter 2. Save a place in Luke. Titus chapter 2. First and 2 Timothy, Titus. Verse 13. I believe that Paul is talking. This is what Paul is talking about to Titus whenever he tells him to instruct the Christians in Crete to live in a way that shows this. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, shows that they are looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to wait and anticipate the fulfillment of the promises God has made, just as Simeon . What are you looking for each day? When you go to school, teenagers, what are you looking for each day? You realize this could be the last day you live. This could be the day the Lord comes back. The day He returns. How do you want to be found? This day at work, or this day with your family, or whatever the case may be. This Lord's Day, today. Jesus Christ could return today. You believe that this morning? Are we living in anticipation? Are we living in a way that shows, yes, I'm a Christian, I believe in God? If I was living that way, I think my conversations with people would change. I have no problem talking about sports. I have no problem talking about hunting. I have no problem talking about the kitchen downstairs. But if I knew Jesus Christ was coming today, you know what, Brother Joel? I'd say, forget that kitchen project downstairs. Jesus is coming today. Forget the NFL team. He's coming today. There wouldn't be much more on my mind than that. Say, well, we don't know he's coming today. Yeah, I know. But he could. And so I'm not saying we don't talk about these other things and we don't live in with these other things in mind, but we ought to live first and foremost with Christ coming in mind, because that will affect everything else that we do. It is good. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that. She's always supporting her baby boy. So they waited. Are you waiting? Number two, they worked. Simeon and Anna worked. Look at Luke. Back in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout. Verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy... What's that word? Servant. I heard somebody say, you can speak up. When I ask you what the word is, just say it out loud. Don't be shy, okay? Don't wait for somebody else. Let's try that again. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant. There we go. Depart in peace according to thy word. A few things we learn in this text about Simeon is a work for God. It says he was just. He was devout. He was a righteous man. His life was characterized by God as one that was virtuous. His life was sincere. His life was devoted to God and devoted to following God's word. And even in his older age, his life was all about those things. It says in verse 29, he was a servant. You look that word up there. Go home, look it up. Look it up in the Greek, find the definition there. And you find it actually leans more towards slave. I believe this is the, I believe the King James, I believe this the correct translation. I absolutely 100% believe that. But when you find out kind of the definition behind it, you're like, oh wow, servant. That's what the word servant actually, we don't use it that way anymore, but that's what the word servant means. Servant means a bond servant, dedicated to. That's what the word means. Don't answer out loud. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you dedicated to God? Are you committed to Him? This was convicting to me. Sometimes we might think that we've experienced too much. Simeon could have said, well, I'm too old, I'm too frail, too limited to be much of use to God, but his life is a rejection of that notion. Simeon obviously didn't look at himself that way. He viewed himself, even at that time, now as a servant of God who could do something. He saw that his life did not belong to himself. He saw that his life belonged to God. It says that he had the Holy Spirit upon him. Also, we don't know exactly what that means in the case of Simeon, since God revealed some things to him. It is possible this is speaking of Simeon being prophet. It could also mean the Holy Spirit was the one who guided and directed his life. We know that when we get saved, we accept the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the apostles in Acts chapter 2. So, it could mean that the Holy Spirit guided and directed his life. He was in tune with God in his revelation. He sure had some insight that the Jews didn't have, others didn't have. Simeon was willing to see the truth that Jesus would be the one who would bring salvation to both Jews and Gentiles. He didn't have biases and prejudices. He was a man whose heart was for the truth of God. Now look at Anna. Look at Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from virginity. And she was a widow of about 4 years, which, look at these words, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The focus of her work, the text gives us, is her not departing from the temple, and her fasting and praying. I don't think she was fasting just because she was poor. She was seeking the Lord. She wanted to serve God's people. She spent time praying instead of eating so she could pray to the Lord. The necessity of prayer was more important to her than the necessity of food at times. That's what fasting is. The necessity of prayer is more important than your food. It's something that's got to be a sacrifice. That's what fasting was all about, and that's what she did. And whether she was 84 or over 100 years old, she could still pray, she could still fast, she could still talk, she could still serve. It says in verse 38, it says, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them." Look what she did. She spake of him, of Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She was outspoken for the Lord. It says in verse 36 that she was a prophetess. Unlike Simeon, we're plainly told that Anna was a prophetess. God used her in some ways to reveal his truth to others, and sure seemed like this is a job that she took seriously. She spent a lot of time doing. Verse 37, look what it says. She spent all day in the temple. She never left the temple. She probably worked more hours for the Lord than each individual priest did. She never left. The focus of her work is in the temple. She cared enough in verse 38 about the souls of others to tell them about their Redeemer. She didn't keep the good news of Jesus Christ to herself. If you have the good news of Jesus Christ, say amen. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Others need to hear. These two, can I say, older people should lead many of us to be ashamed of our lack of service. Could the same things that were spoken of Simeon as an old man be spoken of you? Could the same things that were spoken of Anna be spoken of you? Are you righteous? Are you devout? Do you count yourself a servant of God? Anna obviously had spent her time, she had a lot of time on her hands. She spent her time in the temple in prayer and fasting, telling others about her Redeemer. I don't believe the Lord wants us all to, wants you to quit school and wants you to quit work and your jobs and meet together every day to pray and fast here in church all day long. It's not what I'm saying. But do you pray with fasting? That's a question I asked. I was challenged with. Do I pray? Do I fast? Do you ever want to spend time with God so bad that you'll skip certain things that are important to you to do it? Do you care enough about others to tell others about your Redeemer, Jesus Christ? Do you ever tell others about your Redeemer? I see that Simeon and Anna worked. They waited and they worked. And then number three, they worshiped. God fulfills his promises. You believe that this morning? He fulfilled his promises to them. And I believe he fulfills his promises to those who wait and work for him. For Simeon and Anna, their waiting and their working paid the ultimate dividend. They got to meet the Redeemer. Look at the responses of Simeon and Anna. Look at verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, and thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He took Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God for God's faithfulness. God had given his servant peace. God had fulfilled his promise for his servant. Can you imagine that day for Simeon? What a beautiful day that would have been. Now that he's seen the Messiah, his life is now complete. He's seen what he was waiting for, and he was ready to depart. What else can he do but bless God? What else can he do but praise God for what he's done? When he realized who God was, or when he knew God was, but when he saw God fulfill his promises, when he saw God work on his behalf, he couldn't help but praise God and worship him. Look at Anna, verse 38 of chapter 2. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I don't know how much Anna knew about the promise God made to Simeon. She was a prophetess, so she knew a lot about God, but what did she know about God's promise to Simeon? You know, somehow she knew, though, that her Redeemer was at the temple. Maybe the Spirit revealed it to her, but right at that time in which Simeon is speaking to Joseph, in that instant, it says, Anna comes in, and all we are told about her is that in the same way, she gave thanks to God. She probably had many prayers answered by the Lord. She was excited. She was pumped up about this. Here's Jesus, he's come. His promise has been fulfilled. We're not told exactly what her words were either. We don't know what she said. But as surely as with Simeon, she was pouring out of her heart, her words were pouring out of her heart to the Lord for his faithfulness. Listen, God has been faithful to you. God has been good to you. He's fulfilled many promises in your life. And what should pour out of our hearts in thanksgiving to God are not just words of thankfulness, but words of thankfulness that mean something to us. We just spent some time in Thanksgiving. We're approaching Christmas. This is a great time of the year for you to pour your heart out to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving, and then to use those same words to tell others about Jesus Christ, who is faithful. God is faithful this morning. If you need nothing else this morning, maybe you just need to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter how long you're waiting for God to do something in your life, I can't say it enough, God is faithful. Trust him. He's faithful. You need some encouragement from him. He's faithful to give it. You need some help. He's faithful to give it. You need his love. He's faithful to give it. But I notice there was a prerequisite in both of their lives. They were faithful to God. You realize that? Hold on. If Simeon wasn't just, if Simeon wasn't devout, do you really think he would have seen this promise of God fulfilled? If Anna wasn't faithful serving where God had her, do you think she would have seen the Christ child in this man? No. No. There's no way. You might be waiting for God to do something great in your life, but I'm just saying that if you are waiting for God to do something great in your life, then you've got to position yourself for God's blessing. God's blessing. He's waiting for you to be faithful. I want to make this point that both Simeon and Anna not only openly acknowledge their thankfulness to God for what he's done, but they show it by continuing with it. They both in this text are a blessing to others after they meet Jesus. Simeon gave a blessing to Joseph and Mary and told them about what laid in store for the child. He even prepared Mary for what's ahead. He let her know it's going to get hard. The sword's going to pierce. It's going to get hard. Your son is going to, the cost for him to redeem, to be the redeemer, is going to be painful. But he blessed Joseph and Mary. He continued to work. Anna shows her thankfulness to God by talking to others who were looking for the promised Messiah. Their thankfulness to God, they were looking upward in their life, but they're also looking outward to others. Question, can this be said of you? Listen, we heard the song, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Hey, listen, when a good song is sung, it's not a performance. It ought to be an encouragement to us, a reminder. I was sitting there I wasn't even looking at the girls. I was just thinking about the words of the song and how grateful I am, a sinner, to be saved by grace. Amen? And don't be ashamed or afraid in this church to say amen. That's the proper response to something like that. Amen! It's good. It's great. I feel like sometimes people are afraid to say amen, or if somebody doesn't join it, they're like, hey, just say amen. If you're going to say amen, say amen. You know, I know that people are scared to clap, and I don't want people to think, good performance. I don't want them to think that, no. But sometimes that is just a natural body reaction. It's not like, I am so impressed. No, that's not what it is, but I'd rather you clap than go. You know, that's kind of weird. But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And I was sitting there in my heart going, amen. And while they're singing, I'm going, amen, not for show. I don't want anybody to look at me. I don't care what you think about me. I just don't care. You know, I mean, I do, but I don't. You know, not at that point, not at that time. I'm just thankful to be a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And they were thankful. And because of the thankfulness, they wanted to praise God, and they wanted others to know also of their Redeemer so they could be thankful as well. Who do you know that needs Christ? We have right here two perfect examples of individuals who faithfully served God, who waited for God, who praised God, and who told others about God. That's what you have right here. They waited, they worked, and they worshiped. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. Amen? Waiting for the coming Messiah. Well, the return of Jesus Christ, I should say. Waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. It's coming again. Amen? Working while we're waiting. But we ought to be worshiping as well. We would do well to imitate their examples and to strive to, even in our older age, to have faith.